All right, this morning, I want us to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I will read a few verses from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a very, very good chapter of the Bible. And I think that for many of us that are in this life, that want to experience the ministry of life, this is a good chapter to familiarize yourself with. Read it again and again, because it's a small chapter. It's a chapter that says a lot about this life that we have. And we'll be talking about the ministry of life since the beginning of April. And this chapter is very loaded. But I'll read a few verses. I'll read Romans 8, 1 and 2. I will jump to verse 5 and 6. I will read verse 14, I'll read verse 16, and then I'll read verse 26. I mean, really, I should read the whole chapter. But because of time, I'll just jump like that. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then we'll jump to verse, is it 14 now? Maybe, let's even read 11. 11, 2 is it? There are very solid verses in this Romans chapter 8. Let's read 11, then we'll do 14. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That scripture alone, you can always use it as weapon for anything that is troubling your body. You can just stay on that and look at it and allow the Spirit of life to quicken your mortal body. In verse 14, let's move to 14 now. It says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 16 now. 15 is very sweet, but let's jump to 16 because of time. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then for the last verse that I want to consider this morning, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This morning, by God's grace, I will speak on what I call the Spirit of life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you breathe on these words. I ask that you lighten me up from inside and you speak through me to your people. Let there be life. Let there be light by the reason of your word this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Romans chapter 8 starts like this. Now, therefore, if you know, as an English person, there is therefore now, in some translations say now, therefore. It means that Romans chapter 8 is trying to bring a conclusion to a particular discussion that had been going on before that time. The discussion that had been going on before that time was Paul was talking about the dichotomy, the struggle. What happens that I have life of God and sometimes I'm not seeing the life of God finding expression. I thought that some things should not happen. I thought I should be operating in a particular way, but I'm surprised, you know, just like some of you. Some of you have given your life to Christ and you have done it more than once. Amen. If I tell people to raise up your hands, raise up your hand if you have given your life to Christ more than once. Then some people will raise up your hand a lot. In fact, some people will say, Pastor, you just tell us that if you have given your life to Christ at least 100 times, raise up your hand. I will raise up my hand. Why? They're always giving their life to Christ. They're always taking it back after they've gone, you know, and they give it back. And the reason is this: the life that they now live does not look like the life that they should live. So there's this struggle. There's this, and sometimes some people wonder, they don't understand why the struggle is still coming. With sincerity, there are some of you listening to me today. You are very sincere. You want to obey God. You are very sincere. You want to do the will of God. You know, because the way sometimes, even sometimes preachers, you know, the way we present it, do the will of God. If you are not doing the will of God, you are not maximizing your life. The way we speak sometimes look like you are not trying. It looks like you are not giving it an effort. And you know, as a preacher, I can come and I tell you my story. I said, God, this morning I prayed 6 hours, or this week I prayed, you know. So when you hear some of these things, you are like, am I normal? Am I, because I'm not able to do some of these things that these people are talking about. I'm not able to pray as long. I'm not able to fast. Am I the only one? If you have been there before, where you attempted to fast, or you started to fast, but you did not finish fasting, can somebody say amen? Ah, I thank you, Jesus, that I'm not the only one. Because sometimes we begin the fast, and then somewhere along the line, we will just summarize the fast. We'll say, God understands. And sometimes you're wondering, how far? How am I going to live this life? I mean, sometimes I'm like, man, God, you have to help me. And the day you don't want to fast, you didn't eat till 5 p.m. In fact, that 5 p.m. when you ate, it was just like, I've not eaten this morning. No. The day you wanted to fast, 8 o'clock as you woke up like this, it's as if your stomach was vacated. There was a deep spring cleaning that happened while you slept. And you had not even used the bathroom. You were so hungry. You were so hungry that you thought that if you didn't eat now, you will faint. Have you been there before? So that is the thing that was happening in Romans chapter 7. Paul was wondering that, excuse me, what's going on here? Look at this verse, Romans chapter 7. Verse 23. Romans 7, verse 23. It says, but I see another law in my members. It's as if my body has its own mind. It's as if what I don't want to do is what is easier for me to do. It's as if it is easier for me to disobey than it is for me to obey. It says, I see another law in my body. In my members, warring against the law of of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I see a law in my body that is working against me and is trying to bring me into captivity. And then he begins to say in verse 24, it says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That was the question that brought the answer of Romans chapter 8. Who will deliver me? How am I going to live this life of God? How am I going to live in the fullness of life? Remember that last week we said he will show me the path of life. God, there is a path of life. This life that we have, there are things in this life that if you engage with and if you interact with, it will make the life that God has given to us to find expression. If you engage with the ministry of light, when light shines on you, when there is light on you, it will be able to help you to be able to do something with the word of God. Because the word of God can become the word from God. The word of God, to become the word from God, will need the light of God. So when the light of God shines, that's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, it says, arise and shine. You know why you are going to arise and shine? Say, for your light has come. You can't arise. Some people say, I'm going to arise, I will shine. If your light does not come, you will arise, but you will not shine. You will stand up, you will try to do it in the natural, but it may not happen. But when your light comes, you'll be able to shine. And All this light word is to help you to do this ministry of life, to allow life to function. And then Paul began, he now comes in this place to introduce us to another dimension of this life, or to another dimension of how this life will function. And that's how he came about chapter 8. And then he now says this, that what the law of sin does is that it brings condemnation. The law of sin wants, it doesn't want you to only sin. It wants it that the result will be condemnation. Condemnation so that you are not even able to live the life that God has for you. There are people listening to me this morning. We have believed that there's a limitation along the lines of living. There are people that are struggling with habits and they have believed and they think this is it. In fact, because of this Romans chapter 7, some people have redefined gospel. They will say, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not a big deal. And they will say things like, well, you know, in chapter 8 of Romans, the Bible said there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That means that there's no condemnation. Even if something is condemning me, I would just say there's no condemnation because there's no condemnation. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the law of sin and death will bring condemnation. But if you now know the thing I'm about to show you in this Romans chapter 8, there will be no condemnation for you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but not just them that are in Christ Jesus, because when he was writing Romans 7, he was talking about he that was in Christ Jesus. But now, he's now saying that those that are in Christ Jesus that know how to use one item on this path of life, which is the ministry of the Spirit. He says there's no condemnation for them. He says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh. Because in that chapter 7, it was the flesh that was the boss. Really, the problem is who is the boss? The difference between Romans 7 and Romans 8 is who is leading, is who is the boss. The difference between the person that is under an addiction, that is under a particular problem, habit, and all of that kind of thing, is who is leading. If we can change the person that is leading your life, we can change what you are doing with your life. The ministry of life will come when there is a way that we can hand over the leadership of life to the one that really needs to lead that life. So Paul is saying this. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no, well, your past was this bad, for them that are in Christ Jesus. And I need you to hear that from me this morning. It does not matter how colorful your past is. Your future is much more and better than that past. And by colorful, I don't mean beautiful colorful. I mean ugly color. I mean colors that you are not proud of. I mean things that you did in your past and you don't want to even identify with. I mean things that if other people knew about. And this past is not 10 years ago. Some of you, it was last week. You don't want church members to know about. You know, there are some things, there are some thoughts that when some of us, even listening to the word of God, we don't want our wife to know that that thought is running through our mind. Why? They are not very proud things. They are not things that you can be proud of. But God is saying in this scripture this morning, there is no condemnation. It is possible for you to live above condemnation. It is possible for you to come out of condemnation. And there is a technology. There is a way condemnation cannot be an issue again. If the devil comes and say, excuse me, this is what he has done. This is that. Because that is his job. There is a way that you can partner with the Spirit of life that condemnation will find no expression again. And let me tell you the truth. If there is anything that will help you maximize this life, you have to live above condemnation. You have to live away from condemnation. You don't have to live under the weight of condemnation. Many, many, many people that are depressed, if you trace some of it, many, and I don't mean everyone, there's some level of condemnation somewhere there. Some level. It may not be sin as you know sin, but there is something that is happening somewhere that they are taking too much responsibility for, and they are feeling that they are not enough. They are not worthy. And sometimes people have killed themselves with that. So condemnation kills. That's why it is part of the law of death. Scriptures call it the law of sin and death. Do you see that condemnation there? It's like a death sentence. Once it begins to play itself, it will eventually kill. It can eventually kill. That is why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. And you need to understand that God does not condemn you if you are now in Christ Jesus, especially when you partner with the Spirit. So Romans chapter 7 was a question, and Romans chapter 8 is now the answer to that question. And if you have questions in your heart this morning or this afternoon, and you are wondering how can you be helped, I have come to tell you there is help for you in God. Because sin led to this law of death, led to condemnation. But what happens to you and I when we step into Christ and begin to walk with Jesus, the right way we should walk, is that we will live above that condemnation. So that verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Who the flesh is not the boss of. Do you know? Most people don't know this. But do you know the reason for fasting is not to impress God? It's so that you tell the flesh, you are not the boss. You are not the boss. In fact, sometimes the reason we stay longer in the presence of God is to tell any other thing, you are not the boss. This is the boss. Because there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who do not walk after the flesh. That means it is possible to be in Christ Jesus and still be led by the flesh. You call that carnal Christians. You can know Jesus, you can be heaven bound, but you are carnal. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, you are carnal. You have the gift of the Spirit, but you are carnal. You see, a carnal believer is the man or woman that has the gifts of the Spirit, but is not manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. They can speak in tongues, but there's no fruit of the Spirit. So it's carnal. It's led by the flesh. The flesh is the boss. If the flesh says, get angry, and he will now be giving reasons why he will be angry. That's when you hear things like, the Bible did not say we should not get angry. The Bible said, you can be angry and sin not. But the same Bible said, if you don't know how to control your emotion, it gave a word that I'm careful to say so that I'll preface it. But it says the word is F-O-O-L. You say it inside you. That's what the Bible calls the man that just, I can't take it, I can't take it. I don't take nonsense from anybody. Something is still the boss of you. My children always like to tell themselves, you are not the boss of me. I think most of us need to tell the flesh, you are not the boss of me. Can we say this morning, say, flesh, you are not the boss of me. In Romans chapter 7, the flesh was the boss. You know, there used to be this tract when I was growing up. I don't know if you guys saw it. They would draw this heart, the shape of a heart. And then there's a chair. And then there's Jesus. Nobody understands that tract. You never saw the tract. Ah, when did you become born again? Or are you even born again? I'm just kidding. You go, if you didn't read that tract, how did you? But there was this tract. They would draw. It's a depiction of where does Jesus sit in your heart. And in many hearts, Jesus is not on the throne. Jesus is somewhere there. Some people is very far. Some people is in somewhere. They use him when it is convenient. But eventually, he really wants to be on the throne. Because Jesus does not just want to be your savior, he wants to be your Lord. And Lord, we don't get suggestions from a Lord. We get instructions. We get commands. He says something, and whatever he says, we say yes, sir. We say amen. Whatever he says, we say amen to that. So, the Bible is saying in that Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. But you need to understand the reason, the partnership dimension of that being in Christ Jesus is that you do not walk after the flesh. It says, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Then I like verse 2. And then let's begin to use that to really get into our discussion this morning. Verse 2 says, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. There is the Spirit of life, and then there is now a law that governs that Spirit of life. It says that law can set me free. That law can make me to be able to take charge of the flesh so that I don't walk after the flesh. If I can find that law, if I can stand with that law, it will make me free. And I like that the Bible uses law here, because there are some people, they always want to do all these words and opposite. Give me the opposite of grace, law. This is law used with the Spirit. You would not have thought that. So law is not necessarily the opposite of grace. No. There is a particular part of the law of Moses that there was revision, if you care, or amendment, you know, if you look at constitution and all of that. But the law, the word law is not bad. The word law is still in the New Testament. Can somebody say amen? Here it is saying the law of the Spirit. I mean, we still obey, we interact with other laws in science. We interact with the law of gravity. That's why you are seated and you are not levitating. You know, that's why you are seated. We interact with law. Some people probably flew. I knew one of our people traveled this week. They flew. It was laws that governed that whole transaction. That a big bird, you know, will be flying in the air and stay suspended for so long and land later on. It's laws. So laws, the word law does not necessarily have to be bad. Because some people say, I'm not under the law. Because when people start reading this Romans chapter 8, that's when they start this condemnation thing. Don't condemn me. Don't say anything. Because I'm not under the law. Calm down. Calm down. The word law just simply means tested and proven principle. Tested and proven. That's what science tells us, that nothing becomes a law until it's tested. It's first of all, doctors. Dr. Adeyemo, you too, you are going to be a doctor very soon, sir. So if you have his name, change his name to doctor. Can somebody say amen? Don't just say pastor. Say, call him. You can even say pastor, doctor, or doctor, pastor. Whichever one you like, all right? But science tells us that there's hypothesis, right? Is it hypothesis is that from, or is it thesis? Hypothesis, then what? Alternate. Well, let's not go that science route. We may not like where we went. But somehow, in that equation, it can become a law. By the time we got to law of gravity, it's not just an hypothesis. It's not just some theoretical thing. It's been proven. Gravity has been called law of gravity for so many years now. And if you now say that gravity is not true, gravity will not argue with you. It will just say, go and do your worst. You say, I will jump. And then you will jump. Gravity will be looking at you. Because he knows that by the law that God has invested in him, or, you know, in gravity, you are going to come down. You are just going to go. He won't even pray. He'll just be looking at you. Just be jumping on. Just keep jumping. I am jumping in the Lord every day. You're jumping. But you will come down. Why? Because it has been tested. It has been proven. It is so. Now, the Bible says there is a law of the Spirit. There is a, and it didn't even say laws of the Spirit. It said law. One law. Are you kidding me? Just one? There's just one law of the Spirit? Or there is a particular law of the Spirit I can learn from this particular chapter that is very key, that can give me victory and can answer the question of Romans chapter 7. Yes, sir. Paul was asking the question, who will deliver me from this wretched body? And some people have been asking, how am I going to break free from this habit? How am I going to stop this thing? How will the life that I have in Christ Jesus find full expression inside of me? Paul is saying, there is the law of the Spirit. He says, when we engage that law, he says that law will excuse us. It will free us from the law of sin and death. Because if you don't engage the law of the Spirit, even if you are a Christian, the law of sin and death will still be at your door. Because let me tell you the truth. This flesh is more prone to walk with the law of the sin and death than it is to walk with the law of the Spirit. There needs to be something, when you know how to operate the law of the Spirit, that is when you are going to make the law of sin and death, not to be able to overcome your flesh. And by your flesh, I'm not only talking about the part of your flesh that you can touch. There are other parts of your flesh that you may not be able to touch and see, but they are still influencing you anyways. And God is saying there is a particular way you can get into the flow that you'll be able to deal with this law of sin and death. In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15, the Bible says, until the Spirit is poured on us from on high. Until the Spirit is poured. The wilderness will remain a wilderness. What is supposed to be a forest will not even turn to a fruitful field. It will be a wilderness. But once the Spirit is poured, you will now see life evolving. It will be from life to life. More life. That's why Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And to give you that life until it overflows. And the way that life overflows is when you allow that Spirit, the same Spirit that rose up Jesus Christ. You know, that's what verse 11 of Romans 8 says. It says, if the same Spirit that rose up Jesus Christ is dwelling in you, that Spirit, the same Spirit, he can still perform resurrection. You don't need Easter Sunday. Every day can be Easter. The same Spirit. But you need to activate the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. Until that law is activated, or until the Spirit is given advantage, you will not be able to see the fullness of that law working. Now in Job 33 and verse 4, the Bible says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of God, the same breath of God, or the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the wind of God, the Spirit of God has given me life. Hear me, child of God. Without the Spirit, you are helpless. Not that you have small help, you are completely helpless. If you don't know how to take advantage of the Spirit of God, you will live life as if there is no God. Even if you are a child of God. And there are many children of God that have not leveraged, that have not used the advantage of the Spirit to be able to do life. And the reason is that they have not mastered or situated themselves in the law of the Spirit. Now the question is this, Pastor. What is the law of the Spirit? It's in that same chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6. What is the law of the Spirit? It says, for those who live according to the flesh, or those who are operating under the law of sin and death. The reason is this. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, or those who activate the law of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what is the law of the Spirit? The law of the Spirit is setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. If you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you activate the Spirit. The Spirit of God will be available until there is a focus. There is like a permission. There is like a zooming in. There is like a partnership. There is like a recognition that the Spirit of God is there. I don't know about some of you. There are some times in my life that I want some things to happen. And they don't happen. And suddenly I just feel like, and I should have asked God that. I should have checked with God. I should have leveraged God. Then I will leverage God. I will check with God. And those things will now start to align some way or the other. Now the question is this. Will those things have aligned if I didn't check with God? No. Will God have just done it just like that? No. There are sometimes in His sovereignty, He will do that. But there are many, many, many things and many dimensions of what God has for you and I that needs serious, active partnership. They that set their mind on the things of the flesh will be under the law of the flesh, will be under the law of sin and death. Oh, so why is it that some people, the habit is there? It is what you are setting your mind on. It is what you are setting your mind on. You see, when we read that scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, when the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that he will reap. You know, sometimes we read it when we are taking offering, but it is true in every sense. He says, he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the spirit. So there is a setting our mind. There is a sowing to the spirit. There is an investment in the spirit that allows the law of the spirit to function. Why do we pray? Some of us, we have told ourselves that we will permanently be praying. We'll do other things in between, but we'll just be permanently praying. We'll be permanently almost like on a fast. We'll do other things in between, but that's why are we doing all of that? We are setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. We want the Spirit to take more advantage. And the Spirit takes more advantage by the fact that you yield ground to the Spirit. Let me tell you how the Spirit of God can do more with you. You give him more space. You yield more space to him. You permit him in more areas. You bring him into more areas. Do you know that if you bring the Spirit of God to mundane things, you will get help in mundane things? Bring him into things that are supposedly too simple. That some people say, is that why? That's where you bring it. The reason why some people see God a lot is because they involve him a lot. Remember in John chapter 2, Jesus at the wedding, the Bible says the wine had finished. Jesus was there. And I don't think Jesus didn't know that the wine had finished. I think he knew. The fact that he knows is not enough. So when Mary came to tell him, Mary was not informing him. He was involving him. Why do we pray? Pastor, you people would not be praying. Oh, you said Kairos. Why are we doing all of that? We are not informing God of what he does not know. He knows all things. We are involving God. We are setting our mind on the Spirit. Because that's how you activate the law of the Spirit. And that's how you are able to deal over the flesh. There are some things that will naturally fall off you when you get to another energy level. The problem you have is that the level where you are, there are some things that will mess up with you. There are some levels. There are some climbing. There are some movement. There are some advancement into God. There are some things. You will look for them. They will not be there. I can tell you that for free. There are things that some people will not need to pray about. Not because prayer doesn't work. Not because they don't need to pray or, you know, they are not depending on themselves. They have left that level. They have journeyed with God. Remember the Bible talks about Enoch. It says, and Enoch walked with God and he was no more. God can reveal himself to men in the dimensions that they might not have even read in books before. Why? Because they just decide to give God time, to focus on God, to give God space. You know, in Acts chapter 2, Jesus told them before, in Acts chapter 1, he says, you are going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 was 10 days. He told them, there is an allocation. There is an availability. Just like he has told all of us, that all powers in heaven and on earth belongs unto God. And you believe it. God says this, I believe it. Why am I not seeing it? Let me tell you why I'm not seeing it. Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2, there was 10-day difference. And what were they doing in those 10 days? Pretty much only one thing. They were just praying. They were practicing the law of the Spirit. They were practicing the law of the Spirit. They wanted to answer the question, who will deliver me from this limitation? Who will deliver me from this body of sin? Who will deliver me from the... There are limitations that some of us have. The answer to that limitation is not another laying out of hands. It's to practice the law of the Spirit. It's to now focus on the Spirit. It's to now make the Spirit of God the focus. It's not... I'm not looking at my own energy. I'm not looking at what I bring to the table. Some people will say, am I not a fine girl? Am I not? That's it now. You are still focusing on the flesh. We want to now leave the flesh out of all this occasion. We want to focus on the Spirit. So they did that for 10 days. The Holy Spirit broke. And to show you that this thing works, this law of the Spirit, this setting your mind on the Spirit, the people that were physically weak, they had limitations, so to say, you know, that you can say was a maybe character trait or habit and things like that. For example, Peter, he was a chronic exaggerator and liar. You know, Peter knew how to overstate things and make it a little longer and reduce, you know. And most of those things, he just did it as a way of coping and trying not to get into trouble. But he always got into trouble with that. But the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this same Peter that erstwhile was afraid, that was under the wretched, but you know, he was with Jesus all the while. You can be with Jesus. He was with Jesus for 3.5 years. He even walked on water, saw miracles. That's the thing. You can see miracles, but if you don't know how to operate this law of the spirit of life, you will find out that even with miracles, even in the midst of miracles, you are still limited. Why? You are not giving yourself to the Spirit. You have to give yourself to the Spirit. You have to be mindful of the things of the Spirit. That is why, let me tell you the truth. Don't have any casual way of living your life. Oh, now I'm just entertaining myself, and I entertain myself with anything. I have to find out, in this my entertainment, am I now mindful of the Spirit, or am I mindful of the flesh? Because those who are mindful of the flesh, even when they are entertaining themselves or gisting, you know, I just gist, you know, and then we are talking about everything, you are still feeding that flesh. Because in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. There are no times when, oh, now, this is just joke, oh, this is just joke, oh, this is just joke. We are just gisting now. So these laws don't work. Law of sin and death don't work. Law of the Spirit don't work. We are just gisting. No, it's always working. So every time, whether I'm awake, whether I'm even listening to songs, I am conscious of the fact that I want to be mindful of the Spirit of God. Because that's how the law of life, that's how the Spirit of life, that's how it works. Be mindful. Your choice of words, your choice of music, the things you see, the words you interact with, it will affect you to be able to operate this law of life. Now, when it comes to this law of life, as you begin to give yourself to the Spirit, what you start to find out is that the Spirit of God wants to begin to lead you. He wants to tell you what to do. He wants to tell you what to do. God has an opinion on practically everything. Yes. The reason why you don't know His opinion is because you have not been practicing the law of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, you mean you have an opinion on who I marry? Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you let Him give you His opinion, because He's the Lord, because He knows everything, because He can see tomorrow, even from today, He will give you an opinion that will not only be relevant for today, but will be relevant for tomorrow. I can tell you that for free. I've been married for a little bit now, and I can tell you that you can't see today. Even me, as much as I've been around church, I never knew my life would look like this. And thanks be to God that He had an opinion about wedding. Because if any other person marries me, person will be frustrated. Because now, my life, oh my God. Even me myself, sometimes I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? But the wife I married, she's good with it. Why? I guess God is also working on her. Amen. Sometimes when I say she's good with it, I just take my eyes away. Maybe if I check where she said, well, I was good until you spoke now. But God has an opinion. God has an opinion on everything. Oh, where will I live? He has an opinion about that. Oh, you mean I should not just find where there's money? Where? What kind of job will I do? Will I not just find what is making money now? He has an opinion about that. Because now, what is happening now does not mean that it will happen. The now may soon change. The now can even change before evening. What you look at now, what you are calling big deal now, may soon not become big deal in the next few minutes. Have you not gone to some places? I mean, sometimes when I go to malls now, malls. And I remember back in the day when you go to malls, it's like festival. Very, you know, busy and all that. Sometimes you enter malls now. Big department stores. You'll be the only one there. And they are having clearance everywhere. It's like the whole mall is now clearance. The whole place is clearance. Why? People are not coming there again. Who would have thought a time will come when people will visit a phone shop more than they will visit the mall? Some of you even have subscription on Amazon that before that thing finished, they will supply you, you know. And then some people, things like Amazon is now like a social media for them. They always add to cart. They're always adding to cart. I think you should focus on the law of the Spirit. Amen. So that it will free you from this body of sin. And I'm not saying shopping is a sin, but I'm saying, you know, sometimes we need to be careful about it. But God has opinion about everything. So if you start to focus on the Spirit more, give it more time. Increase your prayer time. 10 more minutes. Increase your time in the presence of God. 5 more minutes. Come to church 20 minutes earlier and pray. Leave church 30 minutes later and pray. That is how you focus on the law of the Spirit. Sometimes some people will ask questions, how do I do that? The way you did getting passing your exam, when everything around you was about that exam, that is the same way you practice this law of the Spirit. The same way you make everything about the Spirit of God. You make everything about God. You wake up God. You sleep in God. You are walking God. You are thinking God. You anything God, you are put everywhere God. If you do that, you will see Him everywhere. That's how the law of the Spirit works. And when you begin to do that, He will start leading you. Sometimes you will just hear a nudge. Don't do that one. It will look like a thought. It will look like, that's how it starts. It's just like you are having a conversation. But you now, if you start doing analysis, it's like that your conversation is usually 2 minutes earlier than reality. It's like 2 minutes earlier, 1 minute earlier, sometimes 1 second earlier. If you start to pay attention more, you start to find out like Samuel, that it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Sometimes it will be the voice of someone you know. I've heard people in this house say that Pastor E appeared to them in their dream. I don't appear to people in the dream, so I sleep in my house or I'm praying somewhere. I'm not busy looking for dreamers. Are you dreaming? Let me come in. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. You know, when we were growing up, there was this rent a ghost. So people would go and rent a ghost. No, me, I'm not. I don't do that business. But why do you see that? God is trying to use familiar to draw you to the unfamiliar. Some of you, he's still using familiar and you are still struggling. But the more you yield to that familiar, you will now begin to move into some other dimensions that may be a little more spectacular when you are used to the familiar. But the more you focus on the Spirit, the more you give Him more time, He starts to lead you. He starts to lead you. He starts to lead you. And the leading, he even says it in that verse 16, that the leading will usually be a witness. Will be a witness. In verse 16, I'm showing you how the Spirit of life works. It's focus of the law of the Spirit. And then he begins to graduate. He begins to graduate. He gets to the place where he starts leading you. And he now says that it is when he leads you that you are sons. I thought that John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I thought that made us the sons of God. But if you read it very well, he said he gave you the power to become. That means maybe there are dimensions to that becoming. Maybe there is something you get at that initial state, but that's not all that you need to get. Now, when you now allow him to lead you, you are now the slave of the Spirit, not the slave of the flesh. Because eventually we are looking for slaves. Okay? The devil is looking for a slave. The Spirit of God is also looking for his slave. Because spirits, just like the devil and the Spirit of God, they want to walk through yielded vessels. The devil will walk through you when you yield your vessel. God will walk through you when you yield your vessels to him. And when you yield your vessels to God, he starts to lead you. And when he starts to lead you, the Bible says you are sons. What does that mean? You are now a mature child of God. There are too many Christians that are too carnal. Pastor, is it okay if I do that thing? Will God forgive me? If you are still at that level, you are a carnal Christian. You are not a son yet. You are a child. And you can't handle serious things. God can't commit to yourself. He can't bring big matters to you. Some of us, the level we are still on is God give me. But God wants to move you to a level where God can say, I want to do so and so thing. I'm going to tell tribe. I want to affect Southside Chicago. I'm going to tell tribe. I can pass every resource to tribe. I can send in the money. I can send in the people. I can send him everything. And he will not take any of it and use it for himself. He will just let it pass through. He's a son at that time. Because he can be led. And that's where God wants you to get to. But you have to start practicing the law of the Spirit. The focus on the Spirit of God. Giving him more time. Giving him more space. Saying yes more. Letting him direct you. Then he gets you to where you get to places where he's leading you. And the Bible says part of that leadership is the witness of the Spirit. There will just be a witness in your spirit. As a child of God, that is a powerful stuff that you need to cherish and you need to cultivate and you need to live by. The witness of the Spirit. It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The way the Spirit life works is that there is a spirit to spirit witnessing. If your spirit is not getting witness from the Spirit of God, you are living a low life. And this morning, I'm saying to you, you need to escape Romans chapter 7 and come to Romans chapter 8, where you allow the Spirit to be the one that is now slaving you, that is now walking you, that is now driving you, that is now moving you. It's your motivation. You know, so many people, it's our flesh that is our motivation. It's the flesh that tells you where to eat, when to talk. Anytime something is influencing you that is not God, you are carnal. You have to let God be the one that is the main motivator. And then he bears witness with your spirit. Sometimes the people will ask you, how do you know? I don't know how I know, but I know. For example, I don't know how I know, but the days, our days in this building are numbered. You didn't hear that? I don't know how I know, but our days in this building are numbered. I have been getting the witness in my spirit. May it's been long. In fact, we are getting out of this place faster than some of us think we are. And where we are going to, this place will look like a joke to that place. It will be bigger. It will be more livelier. More people will come to do ministry there. It will give us opportunity to disciple this city. Because I know that God has given us this city. We are the territorial mayors of Chicago. So God has witnessed in our spirit that he has changed our location. Let me tell you the truth. We are staying in this address on a borrowed time. Sincerely speaking, Victory has changed address. How do I know? Did you see it in a vision? I didn't even see the address in a vision, but I know. It has been witnessed in my spirit. And that's how God wants you to live. A witness. I mean, many times, that's how I've operated. I would just know that something has changed. We have moved to another level. It's a witness. Why did we do NICOS for 1 week this year? Why this year, 1 week? A witness of the spirit. A witness. Because the more you give yourself to the things of the spirit, things like prayer, things like fasting, things like the word, things like worship, when you give yourself more and more, you are practicing the law of the spirit. You are mindful of the spirit. And then the spirit of God will begin to lead you. Some people say, I've never heard God speak to me. You know why? You are not practicing the law of the spirit. If you practice the law of the spirit, you will have witness. Sometimes you don't need them to speak to you. You just know. You just know. You have the witness of the Spirit. You just know. Oh, yes, you just know. Pastor, did anybody? Sometimes that's how I speak and I preach. How did I know? It's not every time that I'm hearing a voice or something speaking to me. You know, says this about that person. And some people come and meet me and say, Pastor, how did you know that? Witness of the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. He bears witness with our spirit on any other thing. Not just that we are the sons of God. He can bear witness with your spirit that that's your wife. He can bear witness with your spirit that that's not your wife. Amen to Jesus. Because the people, they think he always bears witness. That is it. No, it also bears witness that says, no, that's not your wife. Run. But she's a fine girl. Run. The law of the spirit of life is how you activate and you walk in the fullness of life. Then I will just close with it. There are many things that help the law of the spirit of life to walk in that Romans chapter 8. But there is one that I feel connects everything in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. It says we are weak. We are weak. The more you relate with God, the more you see that you have no power. Because that's where it's supposed to get you to. You know, there are sometimes Jesus will do a miracle and Peter will say, excuse me, sir, depart from me. For I'm a sinner. He said, just leave me. The more you relate with God, the more you will see that you are small. He's all. He's the big one. And you will see your weakness. Bible says here, it says we have weakness. We have weakness in prayer. We have weakness in knowledge. And it does not matter the gifts of the Spirit that you have. You still have weakness in knowledge. I was sharing with Pastor Yossi the other day, and he was even there when that happened. I was just so troubled that something happened to me. And some people may say, well, why are you troubled about that? My phone fell, and then it broke. And I was not happy. I was just angry. I mean, there were events that led to that I felt like, oh, the law of sin and death was functioning, and I didn't like that. So I was just in that whole space of my phone had fallen, and then the screen had broken. And the more reason why I was sad was that 2 days before that screen broke, I took out the screen protector on top of the phone to change it, because the screen protector was not that good. So I took it out to change it to another one. So I put the other one, I think we were doing one prayer or thereabout, and I was like, how can I be fixing phone screen when we are praying? I'll do it later. And I did not do it. So I was, the anger in me was that I should have known that my phone was going to fall. Some people be like, that's the way me I deal with this spirit thing, you know, that I should have known, or I should have been cautioned, something, you know, and it just happened like that. That's not good. So I was in that state, you know, and then over time I got over it. Then we went to Minnesota. So I now told him, let's go to this. There was this mall close to where we were. And I was like, let's go there and see if we can find out what they will change this phone, fix the screen. So when I got there, I now found out, I gave the guy, I told him my screen is broken. The guy saw it, it was very shattered. Then he was now trying to peel something. I was like, no, forget it, it's the screen, why are you trying to peel something? He now peeled something and found out that the phone still had another protector. The question is, and I mean, Pastor Tuyo was there, so he saw me. So the guy was like, do you want to pay expensive money to fix your phone, or you just want me to? Because I was arguing with him, don't build this, don't tell me how much it's cost. He was not telling me that. Don't you want me to do it like this? Long story short, the phone had another film or another protector. And I know some people are saying, there was one day you put two on it. There was another day somebody helped you. If you believe that, hold on to your belief. I don't know what happened, and I'm not saying anything else more than that. The phone was not broken like I thought it was broken. And for me, one of the things it just showed me was that, why did I not know that the phone was not broken? You know, I was angry, first of all, that the phone was broken. Now the phone is not really broken, and I didn't even know that the phone is not really broken. So it's now so many things. But you know what it shows us? We are limited. We have weakness. Whichever way you look at it. we are just very limited. And I'm like, I should have just known that. I mean, because I was very, very disturbed, even in the place of prayer, that I feel like I should have known from prayer. So the Bible now says, because we are limited, we need the Spirit. And when the Spirit begins to work in us, one of the things it does with us is that it helps us to pray. It helps us to pray. So I have said many things that I've said this morning to get to this place, that the Spirit of life finds expression when you gain advantage with the Spirit, and the Spirit helps you in the place of prayer. You now exchange weakness with strength. Oh, I used to masturbate. I've been masturbating since I was 15. Now I'm 32. I am telling you how you can be free. If you can exchange your weakness, there is a market where weakness is sold. There is a place that they do exchange rates for weakness. If you bring weakness there, if you allow the Spirit of God to pray with you or pray through you, you are going to receive strength. It says in that verse 26 that the Spirit himself, that likewise the Spirit helps our weakness. because it was the weakness that made Romans chapter 7 possible. But now when we get to Romans chapter 8, when we start focusing on the law of the Spirit, we now find the mystery of prayer, the ministry and the mystery of prayer, that the Spirit of God can use prayer, can use speaking to God, especially when He gives you the words. The reason why many of us, our prayer lives have not been very effective, you have a lot of prayer points, but you don't have words from Him. God wants to answer what He wants to do. God wants to tell you what He wants to do. He wants to pray through you. He wants to say things through you. And that is what He will now do. I want you to stand up this morning. The Spirit of life is available. The Spirit of God is greater than even that flesh or any other thing. But it is because we are not operating the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life says we set our mind. And a great place to set your mind on the things of the Spirit is in the place of prayer. Many of us know praying in the Spirit, but we don't know praying with the Spirit. It's not all the time you speak in tongues that you are praying with the Spirit. You may be praying in the Spirit, but you may not be praying with the Spirit. It says the Spirit Himself can help our infirmities. In fact, when the Spirit helps our infirmities, it gets us to places that even if we don't use words, we are still communicating. That's what He says there. Because many people think when we say Spirit, we mean that we are, sometimes your praying in tongues is praying in unbelief. But when you lend yourself to Him, especially when you start practicing all the things He started telling you from the beginning, when you are giving Him more time, more space, even in your prayer life, when you let your prayer life be dictated by the one that you are praying to and not by the needs that you brought there. Because some days you will come to that place of prayer and He will tell you, don't pray for yourself. Pray for another person. There are some of us in this room this morning or watching me online or watching me later. You don't know anything about intercession. You don't know anything about praying for other people. You know why? It's because you are not allowing what is bearing witness in your spirit to do something. Do you know sometimes when you remember people, you didn't remember them just to remember them. There was a prayer burden. God was trying to partner with your spirit. God was trying to bear witness with your spirit. He was dropping their names so that you would do something on that. Many of the times, when you remember someone, when you remember a place, when you remember a country, God is saying, it's about time to pray. It's about time to pray. So this morning, I want you to lay hold on the Spirit of God so that the life that He carries will flow out of you. We're going to end the service in a few minutes now and you'll be on your way home. But just give me about 2 minutes. We shouldn't finish this and not give ourselves opportunity to just press in a little bit. Worship team, you can join me here. Yes, we're just pressing for a few minutes and just receive help because we are weak. Romans chapter 7 should not be your identity. You should not be that wretched man. You should not be this one under the burden of this life and flesh of sin. Romans chapter 8 should be your experience. It's when you start operating this law of the Spirit of life that you can now get to Romans chapter 8 verse 28. It says, and we know. How do we know? Because we have been relating with the law of the Spirit of life. It says, and we know. And we know. And we know that all things work together for good. I know many people quote that thing. But you cannot know until you start from the law of the Spirit of life. You have to start by focusing on that Spirit. You have to allow that Spirit to quicken your mortal body. You have to allow that Spirit to bear witness in you. You have to allow that Spirit to lead you. You have to allow that Spirit to help you, especially in the place of prayer. Lift up your hands to Him this morning. Receive help. We have come to draw. We have come to draw. Say you have come to draw. Help, 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 help. It's our help. It's our help. Go ahead. Speak in the Holy Ghost. If words are not coming, you can groan, you can chant, but make sure you are not casual in this house this morning. Go ahead, receive help. There is the Spirit of life. That is the economy that you should be working from. Draw this morning before you go to Monday, Tuesday, down the way to Sunday. Receive something from the Spirit of life. In Anakayaba.